Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you.
And so we're going to get into the Word of God tonight, but we're going to be spending some time in the book of Joshua. And about a month and a half ago, 2 months ago, I was going through the book of Joshua. And I don't know about you, but I love the book of Joshua. It's like an action movie. It's like, bam, fight, fight, victory, victory. It's just like, woo, bomb it and weave. And Joshua's just taking territory. And you know, it's like, it's just an amazing section of scripture. I absolutely love it. And as I was reading through, I came to Joshua chapter 11. And there were some victories that were taking place. And I'm telling you, I was getting excited as I was reading. But there was a certain section of scripture, and I'm gonna get to it. We're going to start off in verse number 21 first, and then we're going to come back to it. But I think it's so important because a lot of us as Christians, man, we love the victories. But how many of us can raise our hand and say that we enjoy the battle? But the fact of the matter is, in order to have a victory, there's going to be a battle. So the title of tonight's message is Stay in the Fight if You Want the Victory. Because there's going to be a fight. I promise you. Can I tell you something? There's going to be a fight whether you serve God or not. The good news is when you serve God, you have His grace that comes alive on the inside of you that gives you the victory over any enemy that tries to come against you. But in Joshua chapter number 11, verse number 21 through verse number 23, I'm reading out of the New American Standard. You can follow along in whatever section or whatever translation you have. It says, then Joshua came at that time and cut off the Anakim from the hill country, from Hebron, from Debir, from Anab, from all of the hill country of Judah, and from all of the hill country of Israel. Joshua utterly destroyed them with their cities. Verse number 22, there was no Anakim left in the land of the sons of Israel, only in Gaza, in Gath, and in Ashdod some remained. So Joshua took the whole land. Say whole land. He took the whole land according to all that the Lord had spoken to Moses. I want to pause for a second and say, listen, this was a promise that was given that came to pass. It says that this happened according to the word that was given to Moses. And Joshua gave it for an inheritance to Israel according to their divisions by their tribe. Thus, the land had rest from war. You know, this scripture stands out a lot, I think, because even right now there are wars that are going on throughout our world. Now, there may not be anything here in this day, but I know there is rumors of wars that are taking place. But the fact of the matter is here it's saying in this time, listen, Joshua received another victory. He received a promise that was spoken. He got to carry out what was given to Moses. But as I was reading through this, there was a scripture, like I said, that jumped out to me a few sections of scripture before this, a few verses before. And so we're gonna backtrack a little bit to verse number 16 through verse number 18. And so here in verse number 16, it says, then Joshua took all that land, the hill country and all of the Negev, all of the land of Goshen, the lowland of Araba, the hill country of Israel and its lowlands, from Mount of Halak that rises towards Seir, even as far as Baal-Gad in the valley of Lebanon at the foot of Mount Hermon. And he captured all of the kings and struck them all down and put them to death. Again, this is an amazing feat. But verse number 18, Joshua waged war a long time with all of these kings. When I read this scripture, it jumped out. Because I think, you know, sometimes as I go through my morning scriptures, I'll read a few chapters and maybe I get through as I'm reading the book of Joshua. And it's like I read about 4 or 5 chapters. And as I'm going through, it takes me about, depending on how much time I'm putting in, highlights and notes and all of that stuff, maybe about 30 minutes to get through a few chapters, right? And so it can come so common to see victory, 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 victory. that we end up putting God in this microwave sense. And all of a sudden now, as we start to declare and we pray, we want the promises to be shown in our life the same way Joshua had them. But we forget that he was at war for a long time. See, this scripture, as he's writing it, see, when Joshua received the promise that he was going to be leading the children of Israel into the promised land, from that point that he began leading them up until this point, they say it was about 5 to 7 year span. See, he was at war a long time. And I think, again, we have to grab a hold of this because we read through sections of scripture. I was cracking up as I was reading this. One of the thoughts that came to my mind, I'm going to pick on my lovely wife as she's over here in the front row. I do that a lot. Why? Because she can't cut me off when I'm on the pulpit. So she doesn't get to tell, amen. Steve, don't say that too loud, Steve. But there's been so many times she watches these shows on TV, these home improvement shows, and she gives me these honey-do assignments, right? So she starts to write me out my honey-do list, and she's like, babe, I don't understand why you can't just build an addition to the house. It literally takes 30 minutes. I saw it happen. And that, and by the way, that's with commercials. Like, you can even have lunch in between, and you can still get it done. I don't understand. See, all you have to do is, I mean, we were looking to buy a house one time, and it was like I had one thing that I wanted was a 3-car garage, and she was trying to convince me why it was okay for us to buy this house with a 2-car garage. She had a list of like 700 things, and all of them were filled but my one. And she's like, it's okay, Brian. You don't need a 3-car garage because all you have to do is knock this wall down that divides the garage to this bedroom, and you got yourself a tandem garage. It's that easy. I just knocked the wall down. Like, we don't have to worry about fire code, and we don't have to worry about the difference in depth of the slab and all of that, right? That doesn't matter. See, all you got to do, I watched it. Build a headboard. It takes 10 minutes. Dude, seriously, I don't know what your problem is. And see, we live this life in this way because we read through scripture and we find out the promises that Joseph received. And now he's second in command. But really, I understand he was at Potiphar's house and a slave. But I mean, what was that, like 30 seconds of reading? Like, how bad is that? Like, I can handle that. And then, yeah, I mean, I get it. Like, he went to prison. But again, it was like, what, 2 minutes? And then he's in charge. And it's like, why can't I have that? And so we live these lives getting frustrated because the move of God doesn't happen for us the way that we read it, in the timelines in which we read it. But we forget that Joshua was at war for a long time. See, you may be going through a battle and you've been praying and asking God and wondering why it hasn't happened yet, why the victory hasn't come yet. But I'm here to encourage you. If God has given you a promise, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. And see, if you're willing to stay in the fight, you will see the victory that has been promised to you. But you have to make a choice that you're not going to allow the wind and the waves to get your eyes off of Jesus. You're not going to see, we just did a healing service last weekend. And maybe you were prayed over. And you're like, you know, in that prayer, I felt about 10% better. But in the course of the last week, like, how come I haven't been 100% better yet? I think it's a little frustrating, God, that I got to see other people. I get to hear testimony upon testimony upon testimony of other people getting healed. Pastor Andrew, we were talking afterwards. See, he tells this story about his healing of cancer, but it's not like, boom, he just got up out of bed and he was completely healed. God healed him. God touched him. God did something on the inside of him. But there was a process that he had to walk out in faith. And we have to be willing to walk out the process in faith. We have to understand, because again, here Joshua, when he was being delivered from Egypt and he's getting set free, and all of a sudden now he gets to cross the Jordan dry ground. That's pretty amazing. You know, that wasn't even the promise that they were promised a land of milk and honey. Say, well, I want the Red Sea parted, God. That's what I want. But see, then the Red Sea parts for us, and we realize that that wasn't even the full promise that we were. That's not it, God. Why did you just part the sea? Why am I not? I thought I was going to walk through and there was going to be, what's this wilderness that I'm walking into? You didn't say anything about that. See, again, we live these lives in this microwave mentality. And we get frustrated. And I want to make sure that you don't get frustrated that you're not going to receive the promise that God has given you. I want to make sure that you don't leave here frustrated or discouraged that you're not going to be able to have what you've been believing God for. If you're willing to stay in the fight, you will receive the promises that God has. I want to give you some context in some of this. Joshua chapter 14, verse number 7. I'm going to read through this quickly. Joshua says, I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought word back to him as it was in my heart. He says, when I was sent with the other 11 spies, I was 40 years old. Okay? We got that number in our head? 40. Okay, let's move on. Verse number 10. Now behold, the Lord has let me live just as he spoke these 45 years from the time that the Lord spoke the word to Moses when Israel walked in the wilderness. And now, behold, I'm 85 years old today. Whew. But God, I had to wait for my healing for 2 weeks. Why is it taking a year? Are you willing to wait 45? Are you willing to trust God that you may not see it in this generation or in while you're still here? Like Hebrews chapter 11, some by faith died believing for what was going to come. And so here we have to understand that the promises of, I mean, was Abraham alive to see his descendants as numerous as, I mean, he would have had to been pretty busy if he was going to be alive to see that many descendants all over the world. But see, he trusted God. He believed in what God's word said. And so here, again, 85 years old, he walked in the wilderness. And now behold, I'm 85 years old today. I'm still as strong today as I was the day Moses sent me. As my strength was then, my strength is now. For war and for going out and coming in. See, the grace of God that was alive on the inside of him, the same grace that was working in him when he was 40 was working in him when he's 85. Yeah. I don't know what God wants to do in your life, but can I tell you something right now? Your age is not going to hold you back from what God wants to do. Amen. Because you are as strong today, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. The power of God is the same on the inside of you as it is on the inside of me. See, God's grace is sufficient, whatever the assignment is that he has given you. Now then, give me this hill country about which the Lord spoke that day. And you heard on that day that Anakim were there and the great fortified cities. Perhaps the Lord will be with me and I will drive them out as the Lord has spoken. See, if you've received a promise from God, you may be in the battle right now. And I'm telling you, if you get out of the battle that you're in right now, don't worry, there's going to be another one. You're going to have battle after battle after battle. Victory after victory after victory. You got your own action movie going on right now. But I'm here to promise you that you will see until the day you hear, well done, good and faithful servant. If you stay in the fight, you will see the victory. So I'm going to talk about three things today, the steps to prepare myself for the battle ahead. First one, if God said it, believe it. Okay, I'm going to put this is how you apply this in your life, okay? God says it and you believe it. Can we follow those steps? Okay, God says it, You believe it. Well, you might, well, I haven't heard God's audible voice. That's why we have the Word of God. Because if God said it, we just, the same God, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of David, the God of Mary, right? The God of Paul, the God of Peter, same God that we serve today. And so here, if God says it, we need to believe it. But see, too many times we say, God, I need direction. I need to know which way you want me to go. And so he starts to lay out the path for us. And we go, no, God, I don't think you understand. This road over here is paved. I don't have a four-wheel drive, and that one looks a little bumpy. I need you to fix course. Maybe you say, well, God, listen, I need you to give me one that doesn't have as much brush around it. Maybe one that's not so far. I mean, can you send me, can I drive a different freeway other than the 91? Please, Lord, let me do it. But see, he gives us the direction in which we need to go, but we don't want to listen. We don't want to believe it because our minds can't wrap around it. The fact of the matter is we see too many obstacles in front of us to be able to receive the promises that God has given us. Therefore, we choose not to believe the word that he's given us. See, Peter hears, hey, step out of the boat. Is anybody else going to do this with me? No? Just me? All right. Steps out of the boat. God says, come. He comes. Would Peter ever have walked on water if he didn't come? There's like five no's. All right. Thank God for the front row. Hey, listen. You can get involved a little bit, all right? If God tells you something, you don't have to see it. Pastor Dan talked about this morning. It's not fair that he stole my message. If God tells you, you just have to believe it and walk in it, and you will see it come to pass. Let's go to Numbers chapter 14, verse number 6 through verse number 9. Numbers chapter 16, it says, Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, of those who had spied the land, tore their clothes. Now, let me give you some context. Joshua and Caleb get sent to go spy out the promised land with 10 other people. These other 10 people come back and say, hey, you know what? Part of God's promise is true. The land is flowing with milk and honey. We'll give them that. The problem is he forgot to tell us that there was giants in that land. So if you ask us to go to that land, here's what's going to happen. We're going to die. I asked for direction. You gave it to us. You told us what to do. There's a problem, though. It's not smooth sailing. Because I was expecting God for me to walk in. Nobody was there, and there was going to be a little present on top, like a mint on the pillow, like when you enter into a hotel. And everything was going to be wrapped and ready for me, and I wasn't going to have to work for it. But see, because you're asking me to stand in faith, I'm here to tell you we can't do it. And so they're saying, listen, we can't go. They will kill us. So Joshua and Caleb, they're upset because they heard the same promise everybody else did. And so here it says that they tore their clothes and they spoke to the congregation of the sons of Israel saying, the land which we pass through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. You know, God's, all of his promises are good. He says, yeah, we saw the land, and it is a good land. It goes on. And it says in verse number 8, if the Lord is pleased with us, man, we can spend all day there, but I don't have time to do that. Let's read that a little bit. If the Lord is pleased with us, if we're following him, if we're hearing him, if we're listening to him, if we're truly madly in love with him, if we've surrendered to him, if we're doing what he asked us to do, if the Lord is pleased with us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Verse number 9, only do not rebel against the Lord. He says, here's what, if you want that land, then you got to be obedient to go after that land. See, it's flowing, just like God says. And the only hang-up could be you. Let that resonate for a little bit. He says, and do not fear the people of the land, for they will be our prey. I don't care how big they are. I don't care how many there are. I don't care how strong they are. I don't care how much more educated they are. I don't care how much better spoken they are. I don't care what they have that you don't have. See, they will be like our prey. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that would defy the armies of the living God? I don't care if his shield is bigger than me. I don't care if his sword is longer than me. I don't care if his voice shakes the ground. What does God say? See, we have to stand on the word of God and the word of God alone. And so it says, do not rebel against the Lord and do not fear, for they will be our prey. Their protection has been removed from them. And the Lord is with us. Do not fear. You know what he just said? We have all the power, not them. They got a gun with no bullets. Why are we afraid? See, we get so focused on the obstacles that we lose sight of the promise. We allow what's in front of us to become bigger than the God who created us. See, so here they're saying, listen, if God already told us and he's already equipped us, he's already taken everything away from them, all we got to do is trust in God and go take what God has already given us. There's a few claps. Okay. I'm going to tell a story. There's a father and his son that were in a house fire. And the son gets scared and he runs up and he climbs up on the roof to try to get away from it. And the father comes outside looking for his son and he looks up on the roof and he sees his son up there. And so he yells out to his son because he understands the fire is getting ready to take over the house. And his son, if he does not jump off that roof, he's not going to make it. And so he tells his son, he says, son, jump, I'll catch you. The problem was his son was up on the roof and all he saw was fire and smoke and darkness. And so he was scared and he yells out, dad, I cannot see you. His father replied, don't worry, I can see you, and that's all that matters. See, God has given you a promise, and you might be saying, God, I can't see how this is going to come to pass. And he says, don't worry. You don't have to worry about how it's going to come to pass. You don't have to understand how I'm going to make this work. You don't understand how I'm going to defeat the armies that are in front of you. All you have to know is I got it taken care of. And if you're willing to jump, I promise you I'm going to catch you. You don't have to be discouraged. You don't have to be scared. You don't have to be frustrated. All you got to do is believe. See, God is standing there with his arms wide open, letting you know, listen, if you're willing to jump, I will catch you. Second point is that we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm not just saying that we need to have the Holy Spirit. When you get saved, you receive the Holy Spirit, but you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now listen, we had prayer for the Holy Spirit this morning. If you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, there will be some prayer members and some pastors that can come up here on the front row. We will pray with you to receive the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me give you an understanding of what this is. When you have received the Holy Spirit, you can get led into the promised land. When you've been filled with the Holy Spirit, you can lead into the promised land. See, you can have a choice. You can be a seat sitter or you can be a seat filler. Are you going to get saved and be like, whew, I barely made it, but praise God I'm here? Are you going to look back and see that you brought nobody with you? Is that what we want? Or do we want to see a line of people that we led to the Lord because we were filled with the Holy Ghost, because we trusted God, because we operated according to power, according to authority, according to ability? See, we can't just be sideline Christians, but we got to get moving. We got to do something. We got to make sure that we're busy for the kingdom of God. In Numbers chapter number 27, Moses is getting ready to finish his race here on this earth. He's going to go home and be with the Lord. The Lord's already told him, listen, Moses, you're not going into the promised land. You're not going to be the one to lead. So Moses says here in Numbers chapter 27, verse number 15, I'm going to read out of the New Living Translation. Verse number 15 says, then Moses said to the Lord, O Lord, you are the God who gives breath to all creatures. Please appoint a man as a leader for the community. Verse number 17 says, give them someone who will guide. See, we have to be somebody who is willing to lead. We got to be living a life that is leading people to the Lord. Give them someone who will guide them wherever they need to go. I love this. And who will lead them into battle? See, are we willing to be a Christian that's willing to guide? Are we willing to be a Christian that's willing to lead? Are we going to let the people know in the congregation, not just in the congregation? We can't be our best versions of ourselves in the house of God. We have all the right things to say, blessed and highly favored by the Lord. How are you doing today? I am so blessed. But you were cussing on your way to work, and you plan on cussing on your way home. The only time we open up our Bible or the only time we read Scripture is when it's put on the overhead. See, we need to make sure that we are filled with the Holy Spirit. But he says here, give me somebody who will guide them. Give me somebody who will lead them. Verse number 18 says, and the Lord replied, take Joshua, the son of Nun, who has the Spirit in him. See, he says, look, I see a man who believed God. I see a man who trusted in what I said. I see a man who has not wavered based on what he sees in front of him. I see a man who has been strong in his faith. I see a man who is willing to go to battle. I see a man that the obstacles in front of him aren't bigger than the God who's alive on the inside of him. I see a man who has the Spirit of God alive on the inside. I see a man who is doing what God has asked him to do, who is living how God has asked him to live. I see a man who has put their trust in me. See, applying God's word, living it out, not being somebody who just knows it, but being somebody who lives it. See, the other 10 spies, they knew what God said. They just didn't believe it. They didn't have the courage to go after it. But Joshua, it says that the Spirit is in him, and lay your hands on him and present him before Eleazar, the priest, before the whole community, and publicly commission him to lead the people. Transfer some of your authority to him so that the whole community of Israel will obey him. When the direction of the Lord is needed, Joshua will stand before Eleazar the priest, and who will use the Urim at one of the sacred lots cast before the Lord and determine his will. See, we got to follow God. We got to be willing to seek God. We got to be willing to ask God. We got to be willing to go after the things. And it goes on and it says that this is how Joshua and the rest of the community of Israel will determine everything that they should do. See, if you're full of the world, you will have no room for God. You will have no room for the Spirit. It's time to start shedding some stuff off. It's time to start leaving stuff at the altar. It's time to start throwing things in the trash. It's time to start filling up our time with the things of God instead of the things of this world. It's time to start trusting in what He says instead of trusting in what the world says. It's time to start putting our faith to practice every single day. It's time to start filling our... Listen, if we're listening to more news than we are reading our word, guess what we're going to believe? If we're spending more time in the muck instead of the promises of God, guess how we're going to act? If we're too busy watching sleazy movies or living out there like the world, then we will never be able to fill ourselves with the Holy Spirit, get baptized in a way that we can live our life according to the power and the authority that God has intended for you to live. I'm going to read out of Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 15 through verse number 20. It says, "So be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but those who are wise. Make every opportunity in the evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do." Can I tell you, you will not understand what the Lord wants you to do unless you read what He wants you to do. Unless you spend time in prayer and ask Him what He wants you to do. If you are not spending time with God, you will not know the nature and the character of God. And you will not be able to live according to the things of God. Verse number 18. "Don't be drunk with wine, because it will ruin your life." Listen to this. You might be saying, well, God doesn't mind once in a while. Look what it says in verse number, continuing in verse number 18. "Instead," see, this means if you are being drunk with wine, you are not instead. It says, "Do not be drunk with wine. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit." See, you can choose to be filled with the things of this world, or you can choose to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You can choose to be filled with God's word, or you can choose to be filled with the things of this world. You have to make a choice. It's not about works. It's about trusting God enough to live according to His word. Why? Because you believe it. When we say we love God, when we say that we trust Him, when we say that we believe Him, that means that we need to hear His word, we need to act according to His word, and then we will see the fruit of His word. It goes on, and it says, "Singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs amongst yourself, and making music to the Lord in all of your hearts, and give thanks to God," or "give thanks for everything to God." You know, it's hard to give thanks when you're more filled with the world than filled with the word. It's hard to give thanks when you're getting beat up from pillar to post and you don't have the power of the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. It's too easy to get frustrated and not sing songs and hymns to the goodness of God because what He's done in your life, because it's too easy to get focused on the things that are in front of us because we're not filled with the Holy Spirit. Listen, it's time for us to submit ourselves to the things of God instead of the things of this world, and we will see the magnitude of the power of God move on our behalf if we're willing to trust Him. But I can tell you right now, the battle will take you down if you're too focused on what's behind you instead of what's in front of you. "And give thanks to God for everything, the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." The last and final point, and I gotta do this one quickly, is we gotta finish well. See, it's not about how you start, it's about how you finish. You know, I've been working at the church for 22 years now, 43 years old, started here when I was 21 years old. So would it be good for me to say, you know what? I've done my part. I paid into my gospel social security. I'm going to retire and collect. Move on about my way and just decide that I'm going to live my life according to the things of this world now, because why not? I've paid my time. I've done my part. See, it's not about how we start. It's about how we finish. Are we willing to trust God? See, again, if we want the victory, then we got to finish the fight. But you can't go in three rounds in and say, all right, call it, judges. Give me the belt. I don't need to go 12 rounds. I fought long enough. I gave it a go for three, but I'm tired. I'm winded. I didn't condition as well as I thought I should. So I need you to go ahead and call this fight and just go ahead and make me the champ. It's not how it works. So you have to finish the fight. You have to finish well. Joshua chapter 24, verse number 13 through verse number 15 says, I gave you a land on which you did not labor, and cities which you had not built. And you have lived in them, and you have eaten of vineyards and olive groves which you did not plant. Isn't that funny? You know what he just said? Listen, I've given you all of this. Don't be puffing your chest out. I allowed you to be here. I gave you this land. I weakened those armies. See, sometimes we get into a place where we start to think, because of how much we've done for God, that we deserve some things now. The only thing we deserve is hell. But we can't allow our chests to be puffed up, and you know what? I've done a lot for God. So it's time for me to take a rest. It's okay if I start sliding back a little bit. God understands. It's taking the edge off. No, we need to finish well. Verse number 14. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth. See, that means that you can serve him without sincerity. You can serve him without truth. See, that's the acts of the law instead of the acts of faith. When we choose to say that we love God, we choose to come to church, we choose to do our quick prayers and bless our food real quick, and then go off living like the rest of the world. It says, no, you need to fear the Lord and serve him with sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your fathers have served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. If you are disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourself whom you will serve. See, you can make a choice. You don't have to serve God. You can serve the gods of your fathers. You can serve the gods of this world. You can serve your own flesh. You can serve idols. You can make a choice if it's disagreeable to you. But I love this. He goes on and he says, choose for yourself whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers, which you served beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites, in whom the land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, I want to point something out. He says, you can serve the God of your fathers. By the way, they died before they entered the promised land. You can serve the God of the Amorites. Oh, by the way, I gave them over to you. See, you can choose death. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You know, Joshua, in chapter number 24, he was 110 years old. He believed God when he was 40. He received the promises when he was 85. And he continued to stand firm when he was 110. See, he says, it's not good enough that I fought. It's good enough that I finished. I will give God everything. I will lay it all at the altar. I will make sure that when I stand before Jesus Christ, I will hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the presence of the Lord. You know, there's the Greeks used to have an Olympic game that was a little bit different. They would have this race that would be ran with a torch. And in order to win that race, you did not win if you were the first to finish the race. You won that race if you were the first to finish with your torch still lit. See, are we going to finish the race with our torch lit? Are we going to finish the race serving God with all of our hearts and all of our lives? Are we going to finish the race pointing everybody to Jesus Christ? Are we going to finish the race letting the world know that they don't have to die and go to hell? Are we going to finish the race building the church? Are we going to finish the race filling the house of God? Are we going to finish well doing what God has asked us to do? I'm going to read this scripture quick, and then I'm going to let you guys go to bed. Some of you already have. Just kidding. I see you. Don't worry. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 24, he says, Do you not know that those who run a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. Everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control. Well, listen, I discipline my body. Good for you. You ran in the race. Good for you. Everybody does that. It says, then everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control. They then do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Therefore, I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air. I love that. You know what he says? He's like, I'm not here just to do it. I'm not here to just play around. I'm not looking for a participation trophy. No, we keep score around here. The new age stuff. Nobody loses, yeah. Until you're in hell. Because you didn't do what God said. Okay. It says, therefore, I run in such a way without aim. I box in such a way without beating the air. But I discipline my body and I make it a slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified. How sad would it be if we spent our entire life preaching the gospel and right before we crossed the finish line, we decided, I'm good. I don't want to finish. I'm tired. I'm discouraged. I didn't see things line up the way that I wanted them to line up. I didn't see things happen the way that I wanted them to happen. Instead of fighting the good fight of faith, I'm choosing to walk away because it's just too hard. Listen, you may be in a battle, and it may seem like it's a long time, but I promise you, if you continue to believe him at his word, if you continue to be filled with the Holy Spirit, if you continue to finish the race, you will see the victory that's ahead, and you will hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant. Did you get something from God today?
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.